Good morning again. I want to start today by talking about a fellow who went to the doctor. And he said, "Doc, I don't know what's going on. I can't even do the simple things around the house that I used to do. Please check me out." So the doctor gives him an examination. And after the examination, the man tells the doctor, "Doc, I'm a big boy. I can take it. In plain English, just please tell me what it is." And the doctor looks at him and he says, "Okay, in plain English, you're just too lazy." And the man says, "Well, okay, but can you give me the medical term for that so I could tell my wife?" Today we begin a short series based on Beatles music. And our topic for today is Nowhere Man. So I want to start by asking you a question. Have you ever had that feeling that you're going nowhere fast? It's that kind of an empty feeling. And there's really nothing wrong. Physically, you're okay. You're not in pain or anything. But you just feel that maybe there's something missing. Maybe there's an element of listlessness or the blahs or boredom that has set in. And maybe you begin to ask that question, you know, is this what life is all about? Just going through the motions day after day after day. You get up about the same time every morning. You go to bed every night about the same time. You basically eat the same foods all of the time. You get in your car and you drive this, turn on the same radio station and drive the same routes that you always take day in and day out. And maybe you begin to wonder, like that old Peggy Lee song, is that all there is? Is that all there is? You want to sing it? Is that all there is to life? I want to share with you a short fable that I came across in preparing for the talk today. There was a group of wild geese from North India flying across the farmlands of Karnataka. But as the geese flew, one of the birds saw some other geese on the ground near a pond. So he decided to fly down and thus separated from his group. The other geese on the pond soon accepted the newcomer, and he became part of the flock. The problem was that the Karnataka geese was a different breed. They were heavy birds, and they could not fly. He stayed for a week, then a month, and then it turned into an entire winter. And the man who owned the geese used to feed them well. The wild goose enjoyed this new lifestyle. Finally, spring was approaching, and the wild geese were flying back north again. The wild goose in the pond looked up. He could hear the honks of geese flying by, and he was stirred with a strange thrill to join his old colleagues in flight. He tried with all of his strength, but he could not get off the ground. He had become so soft and so heavy that he could not rise to be with his old friends and family. And so he dropped back to the pond again and said to himself, "Oh, why hurry? My life is safe here. The food's okay. Maybe next spring I could go back with them." But every fall and every spring, when he heard the wild geese honking overhead, his eyes would gleam for just a moment, and he would flap his wings. He did this for many years, until one day he paid no attention to them. He had become content to live out his life as it was. That stirring that the wild goose was experiencing every fall and every spring as the other wild geese flew overhead was kind of like the feeling that I was trying to describe just a short time ago. It's a feeling of restlessness that we have when everything is basically okay, but really not quite so. And this feeling is a symptom, and this feeling is a very good thing. It's analogous to the feeling of hunger we might have to remind us to eat, or the feeling that we have when we're thirsty to remind us to drink. It's a feeling that is very important to each and every one of us. As much as we may not like change spiritually, we just are not wired to stay put. Each of us is called to journey on. And if you were to take just a few moments and pick up the Bible and read just about any section of it, you would see that this is a very reoccurring theme. In the Hebrew Scriptures, for example, the Israelites were called to walk and wander in the desert for 40 years with an eye open for the promised land. And their leaders, people like Abraham and Jacob and Moses, were called upon to get a move on. And they were reminded that they needed to remind their people, their followers, to keep on keeping on. And this was true of them and every leader that you will find in the Hebrew Scriptures. And then, of course, in the Christian Scriptures in the New Testament, we come to Jesus, who brings a whole new perspective to life. But his ministry very consistently challenged both his enemies and his followers to change. He challenged the paralytic man at the pool, get up and walk, get a move on. And he challenged the rich young man who came to him to go and sell everything that he had, give the money to the poor, and come and follow him. And he challenged the woman that he met at the well, a Samaritan woman, a casual meeting, and he challenged her, change your way of thinking. Change your perspective on life if you want to experience everlasting life in its fullness. And he challenged the religious establishment of its day to get a move on and let go of those old, worn out concepts and ideas. That stirring that we sometimes feel, that ho-hum feeling, that occasional boredom, is a very profoundly healthy thing. It is nothing less than spirit. It is the insistence of God. It's that 24/7, consistent, ongoing nagging, spiritual nagging that comes to us, that reminds us not simply to breathe, but to live life in its incredible richness, to enjoy life in its incredible fullness. And if you don't particularly care for the scripture references that I have given you, or want to look at this from a religious standpoint, then I invite you to look at it just by looking at the persistent, relentless calling that humanity goes through. What is it that calls us to sail the oceans? What is it that calls upon us to climb the highest mountain? What is it that calls us to build skyscrapers these days over 100 stories tall? What is it that calls us to venture out into outer space or to explore the deepest depths of our oceans? What is it that calls us, that challenges us, to take a risk and dare to love and care for somebody in our lives? Our basic biological primary instinct is self-preservation. We are hardwired to survive. And yet, inevitably, in defiance of this strong basic instinct, we take a risk. We reach out. We stand up. We reach out a hand. We reach upward with our hands. Because we can't resist just trying to discover what great newness, what great richness awaits us in this life. What great thing are we yet to experience as part of our human existence? Life should be purposeful. When we get up in the morning and put our feet on the ground, it never should be with a sense of dread. It should be with a sense of awe, a sense of wonder, a sense of joy, a sense of anticipation. Thank God I'm alive. We should eagerly be looking forward to what new event are we going to experience in our life that's going to make a difference, that's going to tell us what life is all about, to fill us with that tremendous sense of accomplishment. It's so interesting. So much of the advertising world is all set up to send a message to us on just how much we're missing out. Get a load of that new Buick. Wow, have you seen the new Lexus? Look at the great windows you could have, but you better hurry because the sale will not last. If you don't have an iPhone, then you don't have an iPhone. Quit living with AT&T. Xfinity offers faster, more reliable internet service. And there's my own personal favorite. We are farmers. Bum, ba-dum, bum, 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 bum. But the crazy thing is, we literally buy into these things. And all of the data confirms that the billions upon billions of dollars that are spent every year on advertising is absolutely worth every single penny. Somehow, some way, they push that button in us. And it makes us feel that if we don't get on board and go see that latest movie or whatever, then truly we are missing something in our lives. Some of the ads are very clever. Some of them are very funny. And we have an interesting phenomenon that's cropped up in our country over the last 15 or 20 years. Super Bowl Sunday, where everybody lines up in front of the television. It's become a new ritual just to see what the new commercials are going to bring, regardless of whether or not you are a football fan. But I think that there's something else going on under the scene. Yeah, the commercials are great and the commercials are clever, but I think that they appeal to that stirring, that restlessness that I was talking about before. I think they know the buttons to push, to call upon us to maybe fill that empty feeling that we might have, or that sense of boredom, that listlessness. It's as if going out and getting that new TV or getting that new car somehow gives us a new lease on life, a new sense of purpose. And it's so incredibly ironic. Because we take delivery of that new car, and when we get it, man, we are just tickled pink with all of the new bells and whistles. 6 months later, it's a car. You know, we use it to get from here to there. We don't think of all of those features. And we get that new cell phone, and we are just thrilled to death out of all of the features on the cell phone. And we say to ourselves, I will never have to get another cell phone again. At least until the next model comes out. And all of the time that this is going on, there is available to us a new, whole, incredible spiritual upgrade. All the time there is available to us a new way of looking at things. All of the time there is available to us a new perspective. Something that will just give us everything that we want in our life, that can provide us with a life of health in safety, in security, in joy, and real prosperity. But sometimes, like the man in my opening joke, we just get lazy. Or like the wild goose in the fable that I shared, we've just fallen in to a life of complacency. Most of us hate change. I get that. I understand it. Change brings about instability. With change, we lose that element of predictability. And all of this is true. But it's only true when we allow change to happen to us, which inevitably is the case if we stay put where we are for too long of a period of time. On the other hand, if we create the change, if we direct the change, if we drive the change, if we determine what the change in our life will be, it's not disruptive. Then it becomes truly rejuvenating. We're all familiar with the story of the prodigal son. It's a very popular parable that's found in the gospel stories. And most of it are familiar with it from the standpoint that the young son demands everything that's coming to him, his entire inheritance, and he goes off and he squanders it. And he comes back with an attitude of, what was I thinking? And he returns home. And of course, the father opens his arms to his son and greets him profoundly. But there's another lying second part to that gospel. And that's the story of the older son. The older son who stayed at home. The older son who did everything according to the book. The older son who routinely did everything that was expected of him. And when this older son catches wind that there's something going on and he finds out what it is, he's really upset. And he's not angry with his brother for returning. He's upset by the big hoopla that is surrounding the whole thing. And he talks to his father and he says, I don't get it. You know, I've been here the whole time at your side doing everything that I'm supposed to be doing. And his father sits him down and talks to him and he says, yeah, you've been with me the whole time. And you've done everything that you're supposed to do. But you've been with me this whole time, and everything that I have always has been yours. And so, in effect, I think he's telling his son, you know, you've been a nowhere man. You've dwelled in this house. You've dwelled in my kingdom. But you never really, truly lived in it and enjoyed the richness, the fullness that comes part and parcel. It's really kind of fascinating. All of the studies show that we will experience burnout if we do the same thing hour after hour, day after day. But the studies also show that if we do the same thing hour after hour and day after day with a sense of purpose, not just answering the bell, but coming with an attitude, a mentality of profound meaning to what we do, then this is going to be something that will be very, very rewarding. Something that replenishes us. Something that makes us look forward as we go to sleep at night to getting up in the next morning. We need to shake off our complacency. We need to develop that purpose-driven life. We need to exercise that Christ muscle that each and every one of us shares. Because if we do that, we cannot be a nowhere man or we cannot be a nowhere woman. And like this one line in the song says, the world is at your command. I shared this talk yesterday with Susan, which is what I usually do. She rips it apart, as usual. Actually, her comment was, you know, Mike, it's a really good talk, but you don't give us a how. Break the mold. Take small bites. Become mindful instead of mindless. When you do the simplest thing, understand that life is just absolutely wonderful. Confucius said, it does not matter if we travel slowly, as long as we keep taking steps. If you're right-handed, try brushing your teeth with your left hand or eating with your left hand. You know, God's in the advertising business too. He reminds us, tells us how remarkable, how incredible life is in every single blade of grass. Just don't go through the motions. Take time to wonder at this incredible world through which we wander. And look for God in small things, a simple drop of rain or a grain of sand. And if there's a door open, don't hurry by it. Take a peek, a look at what might be inside. You might be absolutely fascinated. We truly live in a universe that's filled with miracles galore. And most of all, my recommendation would be to you, when you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, dare to allow yourself to see the miracle that is there in your eyes. We have it much better than either the younger or the older son in the prodigal story. Each and every one of us truly are made in that image and likeness of God. We are divine sons and daughters. And our Father truly wants us to be happy. That's why we are here. Just don't grow lazy and don't become complacent. And now let's take us to prayer and meditation.